Welcome back to Vasper Today. This is our Q&A segment where we dig into your questions and go a little deeper on the stories we covered in the main episode. Thanks to everyone who sent in such thoughtful questions. Let's get right into it.
First up, we've got a question from Priya in Berlin. She asks, with MasterCard's crypto partner program bringing in so many big names, what does this actually mean for smaller startups? Is this just another case of the big guys squeezing out the little ones?
That's a great question, Priya. On the surface, it looks like a win for mainstream adoption, but there's a real risk that the standards set by MasterCard and its partners could become gatekeeping tools. Imagine if compliance requirements get so complex or expensive that only well-funded companies can participate. That could stifle innovation at the grassroots level.
Right, and let's be honest, startups are usually the ones pushing boundaries, not the ones writing 200-page compliance manuals. But here's an interesting angle. Sometimes, when the big players lay down the rails, it actually frees up startups to focus on user experience and niche solutions instead of building everything from scratch. So it could go both ways, either a walled garden or a bigger playground, depending on how open MasterCard keeps the rules.
Exactly. If MasterCard's APIs and standards are accessible, startups could plug in and scale faster than ever. But if it turns into a closed club, we'll see more fragmentation and maybe even a parallel ecosystem spring up outside their network.
So, for founders listening in 2026, watch those terms of participation closely. The devil's in the details.
Next, we've got a question from Mike in Toronto. He asks, could the FDIC's decision to exclude stablecoins from deposit insurance actually be a good thing for crypto, or is it all downside?
Ooh, contrarian take. I like it. On the face of it, losing out on deposit insurance sounds bad for trust, but consider this perspective. It forces the industry to stand on its own two feet. No more pretending stablecoins are just like dollars in your bank account.
Absolutely. What's really happening here is a push for transparency. If stablecoin issuers can't lean on the FDIC brand, they'll need to prove their reserves, audit their operations, and innovate on risk management. That could actually make the ecosystem more robust in the long run.
And let's not forget, some users might prefer a system that's independent from government backstops, especially in countries where trust in banks is low. So while it's a short-term headache for marketing teams, it could drive real differentiation and maybe even better products.
It's a wake-up call for the industry to build trust through technology and transparency, not just regulatory labels.
Switching gears, we've got a technical question from Lila in Singapore. She writes, how exactly does the Android MediaTek vulnerability work, and what can developers do to prevent similar issues in the future?
Love the technical deep dives. So, the vulnerability exploits a flaw at the bootloader level, which is basically the first code that runs when your phone powers on. If an attacker gets physical access, they can bypass certain security checks and extract sensitive data, like wallet seed phrases, directly from memory.
Yikes. So, it's not just about keeping your phone locked, it's about what's happening under the hood before your operating system even loads.
Exactly. For developers, the lesson is, never assume the device is secure, especially for high-value data like crypto keys. Use hardware-backed security modules, encrypt sensitive data with keys that never leave secure enclaves, and always give users the option to store secrets off-device.
And for regular folks, if you're not sure your phone's up to date, don't risk it. Go old school and write your seed phrase on paper, or better yet, use a hardware wallet.
Next up, we've got a future-looking question from Diego in Madrid. He asks, with the ECB's Appia roadmap and the upcoming Pontes platform, where do you see Europe's financial system heading by, say, 2028?
I love a good crystal ball moment. Imagine if, by 2028, most European banks are settling trades and payments on a shared blockchain. That could mean instant cross-border transfers, lower fees, and way less paperwork.
And from a technical standpoint, interoperability is the real game changer. If Pontes delivers on its promise, we could see seamless movement of assets between banks, fintechs, and even other continents, provided regulators play ball.
But here's my skeptical take. Big infrastructure projects have a way of getting bogged down in politics and legacy tech. So, while the vision is exciting, I'd expect a hybrid world for a while. Some assets on chain, some still stuck in the old pipes.
Agreed. The transition will be messy, but the direction is clear. Europe wants to lead on regulated blockchain finance, and that's going to shape global standards.
Last question for today. This one's from Jamal in New York. He asks, with Binance suing the Wall Street Journal, could we see more crypto companies fighting back against the media? Or is this just a one-off?
That's a fascinating trend to watch. Consider this. As crypto companies mature and face more scrutiny, they're starting to use the same legal and PR tools as traditional corporations. Suing for defamation is a way to push back against narratives they see as unfair or damaging.
But there's a risk here, too. If every negative article turns into a lawsuit, it could chill investigative reporting and make it harder for the public to get the full story. Transparency cuts both ways.
True. The real test will be whether these cases lead to more responsible journalism or just more legal battles. Either way, it signals that crypto is no longer the scrappy outsider. It's playing by big league rules now.
And for listeners in the industry, remember, your reputation is as much about how you respond to criticism as it is about what you build.
That's a wrap for this week's Q&A. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions. Keep them coming.
And if we didn't get to yours, don't worry. We'll be back next week with more deep dives and hopefully fewer legal filings for Alex to read.
Stay curious, stay skeptical, and we'll catch you next time on Vasper Today.